You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Six Rings and Football Things. A little different backdrop for me, Andy Hart. Mike Cadlick joins us. He is in his traditional ceiling fan bedroom. Look, I graduated from college portion of the room.
Home office that actually this morning, the overhead lights aren't working. So I have two lamps next to me because it would have looked like I was in prison like you do kind of at the studio. So
yeah, I'm in a...
I'm making it work.
Blank walled, blank desk, no shelves, whatever room at the Odyssey headquarters here in Boston, getting ready for a on-air radio shift. But this is Six Rings and Football Things. We are going to do a Pat's Puri segment, and then we're going to do a little bit of a mailbag that we culled together via social media. I may have accidentally answered one of the questions on social media because I'm a moron, but we will re-answer it verbally on the podcast. But Michael, we start with Pat's Puri, and we start with a topic that I thought we were done with. I didn't see coming. Maybe that's because I've never watched or listened to the Deep Cut podcast, a podcast by a barber who apparently cuts hair of people, talks to them. I don't know. But Tom Brady was on. Tom Brady got his hair cut, and Tom Brady was asked about by the barber. His name is, I don't know, I forgot his name. It's got like a Z in it. Something in cut ends or Vic, Vic something.
Vic we'll Blends. Vic Blends.
Vic Blends. So we'll Vic Blends brought up the idea like, and this is a fine question by Vic, you know, the idea of San Francisco 49ers. What if they, you know, are headed towards the playoffs, but they have an injury? And Tom Brady answers the question, I think, in an interesting way. So before we break it down and talk about if it has any impact or connection to our New England Patriots and the Six Rings and Football Things podcast, let's hear Vic Blends on the Deep Cut podcast with Tom Brady.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Okay, that was Tom Brady opening up Pandora's box with a smirk on his face. Because first and foremost, Tom Brady has become, at least over the second part of his career, an attention whore. For some reason, he loves to stir up the masses. And the thing I find, there's a lot of layers to this that I want to get into, Mike.
Sure.
First and foremost is I'm going to need a little more from my guy, Vic Blends, because I think the question he's asking is an obvious one and a fine one. But when Tom Brady interjects and says Patriots,
yeah, you have to stop. Right.
Because he's, you know, if it's, let's just say the Jets, I'll use a different team. 49ers are fine, but let's just say the Jets turn things around with Aaron Rodgers this year, but then he gets hurt again in December. Tom Brady's the obvious question for any team like that to call.
Yep.
But Tom Brady brought up the New England Patriots, not only the team he used to play for, but a team that most people believe is one of the least talented in football. It has the number three overall pick, will be lucky to win Gerard Mayo's promise of more games this year, which would be five. So you have to stop there and say, whoa, did you just bring up the Patriots? Are they on the tip of your tongue, the top of your mind? Like, what?
Tom, it's
what
interesting are you doing here? Too, because, and the reason, I mean, if we take the Dynasty Doc for what it's worth, the main reason Tom left was because Belichick was here and he
Big
didn't
bad wolf. Play with Big bad wolf is gone.
He had to get away. He said that he was never signing another contract, basically as long as he was still in the building. And then all of a sudden, the second he's gone, the wheels start to turn in Brady's head. Like, oh yeah, I would go back to the Patriots. I would think about going back to them. So look, is it going to happen? No. Is he a pot stirrer? Absolutely. But it's fun to think about. And why? You think he is going to come back? You said what?
Okay. Like, I don't necessarily think he is, because I don't think he has any intention. And then he started flirting with the Patriots Twitter account, because they put out a thing with his long hair, and then he's like, I'll unretire. He crossed it out, grow my hair back, kind of thing. Whatever. I think he just likes the attention, and it's that part is sad to me. This is a
why though? Like, I don't understand that. You quote tweeted the story I wrote for WE.com, and you're like, this is like a sad state of affairs or whatever. Like, guy can't just have fun. You love having fun on social and going back and forth and screwing around with people. Why can't Tom Brady?
Because Tom Brady used to bitch about never having any privacy and like not wanting all the attention. So now he's become
a single man. He's divorced. Maybe. He's out. He's hanging. He's letting the gray hair grow a little bit until Vic Blends gets a hold of it.
I find this a little sad on both ends, because I do think, okay, so I'm just going to say it. If he wants to come back, the fact that he wants to come back is sad to me. There's an arrogance there that I don't know whether is off-putting or endearing when he says, I'll always be in shape and I'll always be able to throw. Like 50, 55, 60, I'll always be able to do that, basically, was the tone of that. But if we're going to take this, so you know, hashtag take Drake. I want Drake May to be the pick at number three overall. Let me at least steer into some of the criticisms of Drake May that he's not NFL ready. Dan Orlovsky needs 2 years, which is ridiculous. Yep. He's not getting 2 years. But let's just pretend he needs a year. He's not going to get a year behind Jacoby Brissett. None of us is going to accept Jacoby Brissett for 17 games. Right. You know who we would accept Drake May to sit behind for 17 games? Tom effing Brady, the effing GOAT. And I don't care if they're 3-13. We're not calling for May. We're watching the totality of the Tom Brady experience. So in a weird way, he's like a distraction, right? He's the shiny object while the magician does the work. And the Alex Van Pelt, just let Tom Brady run whatever offense he wants, and you spend all of your time getting Drake May ready for the 2025 NFL season. And I don't think that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. I know we're playing, we're on a podcast and we're Pat's parrying and whatever, but am I wrong? Does that make some sense?
So it does make sense, but I also look at it and it's like, what's the point? Like, what's the point for Tom to come back and do that? Because
he likes the attention. It's New England. He comes home again. I'm always a Patriot, blah, blah, blah. You're right,
just
though.
One last
also
season,
more crapping on Belichick. It would be more crapping on Belichick, because he's only coming back because Bill's gone.
And it's like, it's one last season where, like you said, they go, 5-12? Like, the team around Tom isn't great. And yeah, could he pick up guys like Kendrick Bourne and KJ Osborne and, maybe –
Hunter
out.
Henry, you're telling me he wouldn't work with Hunter Henry?
No, that's and I look. I mean, the defense is pretty good too. So we talk about them.
Yourself
being, here we go. Let's go. We're gonna go cover a Super Bowl. 6 rings live from the Super Bowl next year. So yeah, it would be fun. It would be exciting. I would love it. I think everybody would love it and enjoy it. I still don't think it makes a ton of sense. Like I said, I don't see them competing next year, even with Tom Brady. And no. It kind of feels, I guess it kind of does feel like, okay, why are we doing this? Not that it's sad, but what's he going to come to 6-12-24 on his Hall of Fame day and be like, you know what? I'm coming back for another year.
No, maybe. You know what they do?
You put him in the Hall of, okay, here we go.
So you know how everybody does one-day contract signings to retire as a member of a team? You have this whole WWE setup where he's got a table and the contract and the fancy pen, and you make this big show of it. And then people look and hey, this doesn't say one day. This is an actual con. Yeah. By God, Tom Brady just signed with the New England Patriots. He's a quarterback again. Like, yeah. I think you could have so much fun with this. And again, I look at the only downside. Well, not even a downside, because I just cleared that up. The only downside I was thinking about yesterday was Alex Van Pelt. As he tries to install his offense in his world, he's like, Tom Brady's here, so clearly he's going to do whatever the F he wants to do.
Right. They're probably going to hire Josh McDaniels and be like the second offensive coordinator.
So do that and have Alex Van Pelt just work with Drake May on the practice field behind the scenes and get ready. And it is sad in a way, but it isn't sad if you're taking the mentality I am. That this is a bridge year. This is a multi-year plan. And they've treated some of this like a multi-year plan. You know, oh, we're going to burn cash. We're going to save some cash and re-sign our own guys and do this sort of intelligently and slowly. And, you know, from a Brady perspective, I know people are like, wow, he didn't exactly want to mentor Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, that's when he was taking his job. This is a totally different.
Right.
This is like a magnanimous gesture by him to help out the Patriots enter that next era. And by the way, he'll get credit if Drake May in 2025 comes out and hits the ground running like freaking Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City year two. Right. You don't think Tom Brady's going to get credit for that? People are going to be like, oh, Tom Brady was a big part of that. He taught Drake May how to be a professional, how to prepare, how to whatever, read defenses, the whole damn thing. So I know I'm putting way too much serious stock into this.
Of course. It's not but, happening.
You know,
but now you kind of got me excited.
We've been talking about the draft for like 70 weeks now. So a little bit of a flashy, fun topic. And Jerod Mayo, you're setting the culture. Clearly, Jerod Mayo is bridging the culture of what was good from the old Patriot way under Belichick, but maybe eliminating some of the bad stuff or the stuff that's dated as he becomes a love-based Y guy. I'm pretty sure Tom Brady is now a love-based Y guy. I think Tom Brady just wants to be appreciated and answer, why do you do this? Like, so now Jerod Mayo's the head coach. Dante Hightower's on the defensive side of the ball. Tom Brady's on the offensive side of the ball. You have the greatest Super Bowl competitors that this generation has seen helping to change the – oh, I forgot. Matthew Slater's hanging around too as a consultant or whatever the hell he's doing, advisor. Right. How is this not working? I am talking myself more into this the more I talk.
And you mentioned the why guy and wants to be appreciated. That was sort of – that was why Tom ultimately left too, was that he wanted to – go and show that you could do it differently than why it's done here. And that, you know, you can be compassionate and you can be more of a player's coach and sort of relax a little bit and still go out and win a Super Bowl. And that's exactly what Jerod Mayo is, like you said. So
you're on board.
I'm on board. Are you kidding me? That would be the funnest, 7 months or whatever that I've probably ever had. So
maybe we'll see. It could get really ugly. And I also think football wise,
but how does it get ugly? That's the thing. I don't really.
They suck. He's throwing picks. He's like getting
is
sacked.
Is he gonna though? He's the
probably
GOAT.
Not, but
he's the best football player ever.
And I also think it fits with, because in my theory, obviously, because I heard some people, I think Phil Perry even said this, which I thought was dumb. Sorry, Phil, dumb. If you're signing Brady, then take Marvin Harrison at 3. Well, no, because
no.
I don't
have
these
fantasies.
You can't
push the whole thing back, right?
No.
Right.
So I'm taking May. I'm still taking a tackle in the second round and a wide receiver in the third, but I'm going to have a questionable left tackle. Well, who gets rid of the ball more quickly than Tom Brady? Nobody. So he can manage his way through left tackle questions. He's going to have maybe DeMario Douglas, which he didn't have before, like a return of that little quick slot guy. As I said earlier, Hunter Henry, the trusted, reliable tight end. I'm going to be on the same page where I think Tom Brady kind of orchestrating this mediocrity on offense, whatever you want to call what they're going to be, and run the ball with Ramondre Stevenson.
Right.
I think you can talk yourself into being a competitive offense. As you said, you're going to have a good defense, or should have a good defense. So you're a competitive team. So your bridge year doesn't need to be a real, you know, unentertaining, sloppy, this is a process. And, like, I might be entertained and I might enjoy watching them every week while they get to the next era.
And when you listen to Kirk Cousins' comments the other day about a guy like KJ Osborne, who is really a two, but he couldn't get, you know, he couldn't break the depth chart barrier behind Steph Diggs and Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson, all of a sudden, who's the probably number one guy you would want to see or to have by your side to help you break out of that number three shell? KJ Osborne.
TB12.
Tom F.
TB12. Okay, so fans, we're going to wrap up this portion of Pat's Puri. I'm just going to warn you. If you hear about the Patriots signing Tom Brady to a one-day contract on 6-12-24 or any time between now and then, I would ask to see the contract. Ask to see the fine language, because you may be duped in a
that
good way.
WWE scenario. I can picture it in Foxborough.
Awesome.
Where, like you said, he's at the table, and then you look at the Jumbotron, and they like do like an overhead zoom, and they just show the contract, and it says 1 year, and like year is underlined, and the whole
thing Brady's like nuts. Well, I guess I got to live up to the contract. I'm a man of my word. I signed it.
He has like a helmet under the desk, and kind of like Bill. He does like puts the helmet on. He's like, yep. LFG, and he does it. Yeah, no, I'm in. I'm totally bought in. Brady's back 1 year. So Hall of Fame ceremony. He gets inducted, but then he plays another year. Then do we have That's to fine. Do that whole thing again?
No.
Or is he just in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you change any rule you want for the GOAT, Tom Brady. Call it. Forget calling it the Hall at Patriot Place. Call it Tom Brady's building, and then the other guys can also stay.
And is he gonna give up the potential billions of dollars he can make as an owner of the Las Vegas Raiders just to play one more season in Foxborough?
I'm pretty sure he'll still have that opportunity if he wants it at some point somewhere. He's Tom F. Brady,
and he could probably do it with the Patriots now. So
maybe.
All right, fine. I'm in.
Okay, so Tom Brady, we have in New England for the 2024 season off of a couple words he said on a haircut podcast. It's what we do. This is the podcast business. It's pre-draft. A guy who is not in the NFL, and it seems to be bothering my co-host Mike Kadlec, is Bill Belichick, who popped up this week at the University of Washington with cut sleeves, at the University of Nebraska, where he was embarrassing their head coach with his knowledge, which is not a great thing for the Cornhuskers. And you reacted to that commentary and those visuals, saying basically, did the Patriots and the NFL make a mistake with Bill Belichick because he is unemployed? State your case so I can shoot it down.
No, I don't. And I still don't really think they made a mistake, but it was worth asking the question. We hit on it a little bit on our Wednesday podcast, where all of a sudden he goes out and speaks for 5 hours. And everyone's like, oh, what are they doing? What are the owners doing? Why is this guy unemployed? And like, I mean, it was certainly interesting to see the guy who we shot down as, you know, the games passed them by and he's done and he's old, go out and show the stamina and enough spryness, if that's a word. I tried to write spryness in my column and I couldn't find a definition. So I was like, maybe that's not a word. But
let me advise you as a fellow columnist in a column, I firmly believe you can write whatever the hell you want. It's like artistic license.
Okay.
If you would say it on the radio, if you would say his spryness, then write spryness and just figure out how to spell it, because that's the artistic license of a columnist. If you're doing a news story, I wouldn't write spryness.
All right, fine. So he showed hours. He talks for 4.5 to Matt Rhule and his staff and all of those guys. And then he goes to the Pacific Northwest and he meets with, and he's, you know, talking to them. And then all of a sudden we see him on the field and it's like, oh, he can still kick. So I think the question starts to bubble up. Oh, did everyone make a mistake? And no, you forget. And I liked your quote tweet. He was still the 72-year-old guy who made a bunch of stupid mistakes in Foxborough and, you know, kind of basically got ridden out of town. And then the dynasty comes out and everyone loves him again. It's like, let's take a step back. Look at how the cycle went. Look at what happened. The Commanders, the Raiders, the Titans, all these teams were basically in full-on rebuilds. And Bill Belichick is 72, and he's 12 wins away from the record. he's not staying for the long haul. So the only place that really makes sense is a team that's ready to win now and is looking for that next step, the next jolt, the next, you know, call it the Cowboys if they moved on from McCarthy, call it the Eagles if they moved on from Nick Sirianni. So it's not as simple as everybody made a mistake, and especially the Patriots. The time was, it was up. We all basically unanimously, fans, media, the crafts alike, realized that the time was up for Bill in Foxborough. It just ran its course. That doesn't mean he's still not maybe a good coach. That doesn't mean the game has passed him by. It just means that time expired here in Foxborough and it was time to start anew. So he's probably going to get another job eventually. He's probably going to be a pretty good coach the next time he goes, but it just didn't line up for him this time. And sometimes that happens. The two teams that, you know, you could argue that he could have signed with were obviously the Chargers out west. They get Jim Harbaugh. Nobody's complaining that you hire Harbaugh over Belichick. He probably has a few more years left on him than Bill. And then the Falcons. But if you watched Raheem Morris's introductory press conference or introductory team meeting with Atlanta and kind of how he brought that whole team together, I'd argue that Raheem Morris is maybe a better hire than Belichick at this point for that team where, yeah, you get Kirk Cousins, but you still have a young team. They're kind of in a rebuild slash maybe try and win now. So long story short, Bill's still probably going to be a good coach somewhere, but it's not necessarily a mistake that he's not coaching this year either. It kind of just didn't time out.
Absolutely. I stick by my tweet. I think there was very plausible reason why he's no longer the coach of the New England Patriots, and those are the decisions and results of the last few years. And there were very few places where he made sense to fit, to turn the keys to your franchise over to a 72-year-old who's a dictator and wants all power, all voice, going to do everything his way.
Right.
Few and far between. Now, I still leave the door open. I have a pizza bet, a pickle pizza bet with Rich Keefe for that he coaches this year in the NFL, that he's going to be the Cowboys head coach at some point.
You really think they're going to bring him in midseason?
I think there's a possibility.
You wrote about that a couple months ago, didn't you?
I think I did, yes.
Yeah.
CTE. But yes, yeah. And I, you know, maybe it's somewhere else too. Maybe it's the Jets. Maybe it's the Bills, the Eagles. Like there could be other opportunities, but the Cowboys are the placeholder I put in my head. But this idea, the only time I actually embraced this idea was when Robert Kraft at the owners' meeting said X's and O's are where it's at in the NFL. That's what really matters, which I don't agree with. I think it's false. I think talent matters more than anything in the league. But if it did, then you should be thinking about whether you made a mistake, because I still do believe you can argue the best X's and O's coach in the National Football League might be Bill Belichick, and he's not in the National Football League. But I don't actually believe that. I think everything else matters, motivation and talent and drafting and everything. And he made a lot of mistakes in that area with coaching staff, with players, with just so many mistakes that got him out of New England. So, yeah,
It's funny how brutally honest Matt Rhule was. And he's like, he's looking at the media cartel in Nebraska and he's like, I was embarrassed. Like, I am a bad football coach. And basically was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, he was like, it's so simple that it makes you look stupid in the process, how much you overcomplicate things. And I think that's go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I use this reference a lot because it seems to fit a lot. It reminds me of Elf, when they bring in the little guy who's the supposed god cook of kids' books.
Yeah.
And the internal writers and talent guys are just like in awe. Like,
yeah.
That was Matt Rhule looking toward Bill Belichick, who came in for a few hours and was like, oh my God, this guy's on a different level than us. I can't believe we do the same job.
It's like the asparagus who's self-conscious that his pee smells funny or something. Yep. Yeah, right.
Yep.
I love that movie.
Okay,
that's the best Christmas movie, by the way.
It's in the top. Yeah, it probably is. I like Christmas Vacation. That would be up there for me. There's a couple others. But yeah, that's a classic. Okay, so we have Tom Brady back in the league, according to us. Bill Belichick out of the league, as he should be, at least for most teams.
For now.
And then finally, here in their Pats Puri opening segment here on Six Rings and Football Things, we got to touch again on J.J. McCarthy.
Oh,
because I know I've written about this a little bit. But my friends over at the 33rd team, who, if you're not familiar with, it's writers, but it's also ex-players, ex-coaches. There's sort of a whole, I don't know if you've heard this word, collaborative of contributors to the website. And their headline, I got one of those alerts on my phone this morning, and I want to thank them for making me feel better about the world. The J.J. McCarthy hype has gone too far. Could not agree more. I like J.J. McCarthy. I've told you this many times. I think he's the fourth best quarterback. I love that Dane Brugler prints the beast, and I go right to the quarterbacks page, and he has J.J. McCarthy as the fourth best quarterback.
Yep.
And the 23rd best prospect in the draft. Not a top five pick, not, but the hype train led by Michael Hawley, well, really all of NBC Sports Boston, but Michael Hawley really amped it up a little bit. Phil Perry really accelerating down the tracks, like, you know, the Polar Express when the hairpin falls out and it's a runaway train in the ice.
Wait, is Phil on JJ now? Did I miss this?
Kinda. He was arguing me that, oh, I've had teams tell me he's going to go in the top four and he should go in the top four and all these things. Scott Zolak, we know, did the 180. He hated him, and then he loved him all overnight. Now he said, don't rule him out as the Patriots' number three overall pick. This is ridiculousness. This is that show on MTV. It should be videos on that. All these videos should be aired, and those people should make fun of these videos of these people trying to sell me on. Because I pulled my question on Phil Perry on TV last night that I've asked you and Fitzy and Keith, the old, I went quarterback by quarterback. Would this guy be a first-round pick in any draft? And he answered the same way everybody does. Caleb Williams, yes. Jaden Daniels, yes. Drake May, yes. J.J. McCarthy, no, probably not. Well, then he shouldn't be the fourth effing pick in the draft. You're overdrafting him. And I know that happens with quarterbacks, but I just need to bring reality to this situation. And I am going to assume and presume this is silly season rumors, smoke screens, and that Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo are playing their pals in the media like the fiddle that went down to Georgia and the devil. Because if not, if there's truth to this and they're just going to take J.J. McCarthy third, A, it's a fireable offense because he's not that good and you're going to regret it. He's not a franchise QB. I also think it's a fireable offense. Why does everybody in the media know exactly what you think and want and know? Like, that you're terrible at your job if everybody knows that. So if J.J. McCarthy goes number three overall, yes, I believe Elliot Wolf should be canned.
So you absolutely cannot just can him as soon as the pick is made, because, and I'm not saying they should make the pick. I am a Drake May guy. I am hashtag take Drake. I'm all over Drake May. I think it would be stupid to take J.J. McCarthy third overall, but you have to let the string play out, because if he hits on it and if he becomes the next great franchise quarterback of the Patriots, then Elliot Wolf is a freaking genius. And he knows exactly what he's doing evaluating quarterbacks. And he knows that I don't care about the arm talent. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. These intangibles, how he can run the system that Alex Van Pelt wants to run and how he fits in New England, his leadership. It was a slam dunk and we had to take him at number three. So if it works out, we have to praise him for it. So you can't just can him right away. But it's so much easier to just take Drake May, because the volatility of if it works or if it doesn't with JJ is a lot bigger, in my opinion, than it would be with Drake May, because Drake May just has the talent. He has the raw talent. He still has that, leadership ability. And, like, you see it with him. You see it more with McCarthy, but May's, physical attributes completely outweigh what JJ can do. So you can't fire him yet, but I do agree that you need to just take Drake May if he's there. It's that simple. It's the easiest pick. It gives you more runway, if you will, to miss on him because, oh, well, it was Drake May. Everybody wanted Drake May type thing. So, I do agree with you that I do think it's still smoke. I think they're maybe trying to – you know what I do think it is? I don't know if they're in love with May or Daniels, and they're maybe trying to drive up the price at pick number three.
Could be.
Other than that, I don't think they're going to take J.J. McCarthy at three. It just doesn't make sense.
And again – If they take J.J. McCarthy at three, I don't know if I'd be firing as much for the J.J. McCarthy, because you're right. You kind of need to give it a year or two to play out and see if the guy, oh, wow, he did know what he was talking about. But the idea that everybody knew exactly what he wanted to do would also alarm me. Like, part of this business is playing it tight to the vest, keeping your plans tight. Like, the old Parcellian, we're in the business of collecting information, not disseminating it. And if somehow Tony Pauline and Michael Hawley and Scott Zolak and Phil Perry and Tom Curran know exactly what Elliot Wolf wants to do, well, Elliot Wolf's got a problem, because loose lips sink ships, I've been told. And this ship is already really kind of hovering under the water and below the sea level. So,
okay. But you know what's funny, too? The Pittsburgh Steelers in 2021, I think in 2022, back-to-back first-round picks at, like, pick 20,
every mock draft, every analyst, everybody and their mother knew exactly what they were going to do. Everyone knew they were going to take Najee Harris. I picked 22 or whatever it was. And every single mock draft had it. Yep. You know what they did? He landed right at him, and they picked Najee Harris. And then 2 years later, Kenny Pickett falls right to the Steelers, hometown, Pittsburgh, the whole thing, and he goes right to the Steelers. Everyone knew what they were doing. It worked. It didn't burn bridges. It didn't – yeah, Kenny Pickett's not that good, but it didn't necessarily ruin what happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So especially – and that was at pick 20, where you can be jumped and you can be traded into and out of and all that stuff. We're at pick number three. So who really cares if everybody knows we're taking J.J. McCarthy at number three? Nobody knows what we want to do at 34 yet. Nobody knows what we want to do at 67 yet, because a lot of shit can happen before that. Number three, it's pretty much your pick of one of May and Daniels and then J.J. McCarthy.
Well, except that you might be able to manipulate the board for value and trades if there was a little more of a smokescreen.
And I guess it doesn't really matter, because that is the premise, is, you know, loose lips sink ships, and we don't want this to get out regardless of what our draft position is. So
also, those were two bad picks the way they played out. Najee Harris has not lived up to first round running back value, and Kenny Pickett is no longer a quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that didn't work. But what did work was this Pat's Puri segment. Nice job, Mike Cadlick. Talking about all the big, it's funny, we had some big sort of headline topics in Pat's Puri. Sometimes it's a little bit more minor. Yeah. Now, as we trend into the second leg here on Six Rings and Football Things, we go to the mailbag, where we ask for questions on our Twitter account, social media, at Six Rings Pod. And we had some good questions. So you want to tee one of those up, Mr. Cadlick, so we can
Right into this? We got about six of them here. And
bang them out, because I got a radio ship coming.
First one is from Mr. Ed 315. What's your gut reaction about how the Patriots will do with the draft? How many studs will be drafted, and how many jabronis?
That's jabroni, good term. Big fan. Studs, I'm going to say they'll leave this draft with two studs and a couple jabronis, and then a handful of players that will contribute. I have faith, because to me, that's what a draft is.
100%.
If you're a good drafter, pretty much the most you can kind of ask for is a couple studs to come out of a draft. You're going to have a couple misses in all likelihood. And then you'll have some guys that'll be on your team for 2 to 3 years, 4 years, and then you'll move on from them. But that's the way it works. But as much as we talked about in the first leg, Elliott Wolf and what's he doing, what's he like, and JJ, whatever, I have belief in him until he gives me reason not to believe in him. I think he has been sort of bred for this and trained for this over the years, and has seen different organizations, and he's seen it here. And I think there's opportunities. I also don't think this is necessarily where he has to hit home runs. Like, he's going to pick third, and there's a quarterback on the board that we all think could be a franchise quarterback. He can take that guy. At 34, there's going to be good talent on the board. So I don't know that he needs to be a magician. Just go where the board takes you, fill some needs. Because it seems I've been touting this all along. If you listen to the Jeremiahs or the Jim Nagys, the Patriots needs quarterback, tackle, wide receiver, marry up to some strong positions and the potential for those to be filled in this draft. So until proven otherwise, I have faith that Elliott Wolf's going to fill a couple of those with good players.
I think so too. And you can't expect them to hit on 5-6 guys. That's nearly impossible. There's I can think of two drafts in the last maybe 10 years, one from the Saints and one from the Browns, where they hit on four guys and it was wow, that's a haul. One of which was the Elliott Wolf Browns draft in 2019, by the way. But regardless,
sort of the Elliott Wolf Browns draft.
Well, he was the assistant, but John Dorsey, who ended up getting canned 2 years later. But you get the point. He was in the Baker Mayfield thing. Then they got Denzel Ward, who's really good. Taki was kind of a hit. He's here now. So that's a guy who can fill out your roster. So it's a crapshoot. You can't hit on everyone. There's going to be plenty of jabronis. But if you hit on two studs and, like you said, a couple guys that can fill out your depth chart for a couple of years, that's a win to me. Wolf's done it in the past, at least as an assistant, both in Green Bay and here, or in Cleveland, rather. So we'll see what happens. All right, question number two.
Next question.
Will the narrative by the media be the same if the Patriots trade out of number three, move down, and acquire more capital? The media and some fans wanted the opposite of Bill, and this would be a Bill move. I look at this if they trade down, I think people are still going to be up in arms, because one of the quarterbacks is going to be sitting there in your face, and you ultimately didn't fill that need. And so people are going to sit there and say, well, they're doing the same thing. It's the same thing as Bill. Nothing's changed. It's Robert. that's already happening with the lack of spending, quote unquote, where they really didn't lack spending. They just spent it internally and are saving some for next season. But that's a discussion for another day on the salary cap. I think people are still going to be up in arms if they trade down and get more picks, because that was the same thing with Bill. People are going to be pissed. They want the guy. They want the quarterback. It might be the smart move at the end of the day, but I do think that the narrative will stay the same that, yeah, they probably should have just taken the quarterback.
Yeah, I think there will be a negative reaction, assuming you don't get, you know, Tom Curran has basically flat out reported that they won't do it for 3 first-round picks. So the Vikings deal, 11-23 and a first rounder next year, they won't do it. It's going to take a haul greater than that. Now, I've heard somebody say, well, what if they threw in Jordan Addison to that package? I think if it reaches the level, if Tom
that was one of our next questions, so we'll bring that in. Would you trade number 3 to the Vikings for 11-23, a first, and Jordan Addison?
Who's on the board? If May is on the board, I will not. I'm taking
all right. Jaden Daniels is on the board.
I think I make the trade because I have enough doubts about Jaden Daniels that 3 first-round picks and a number one NFL wide receiver. That's a lot. And now, you know my thing. I don't think you just figure out quarterback, but now I got to figure out quarterback. And maybe it's Tom Brady. How the hell should I know? Listen to the first leg of this podcast.
Right.
But barring, and I think that is a historically massive, because that's a first-round pick. That's essentially 4 first-round picks. Jordan Addison.
It's last year's first-round pick, right? Right. He was a rookie? Yeah. So I
would probably do that for the if Jaden Daniels is on the board. But just to get back to sort of the general question here.
Yeah.
You know, I put out a poll and it was heavily, it was more than 2/3 of Patriots fans just want the team to stay at number 3 and take a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's a quarterback league. We see the quarterbacks in the AFC. It's loaded. You know, the Lamars, the Joe Burrows, the Josh Allens, the Patrick, Justin. Like, if you want to do business as business is being done in the American Football Conference, you have to have a star quarterback. That's just kind of, it's funny how it's the divide has happened. The AFC is the QB conference. The NFC is the really good rosters. Because I think you can argue like Philly, San Francisco, even Dallas are built around strong Detroit, really strong rosters, and then a good enough quarterback who elevates into the conversation of MVP.
100%.
So if you want to do business in the AFC, it seems like you need a quarterback. And then if you marry in also the idea that we have a lot of listeners, and I think a lot of Patriots fans are into this and are like, well, you're at 3, which is where you get a quarterback. You might not be at 3 next year. You might be at 8, 9. And who are the quarterbacks next year? They're not as good as the quarterbacks this year. You put that all together, I think the bulk of Patriot Nation is very much on board with staying where you are, take a quarterback, and then cross your fingers, toes, and everything else you can that he's the guy.
I agree. And you look at those two quarterbacks that are going to be there in May or Daniels, and everyone loves Drake May right now. We talk about it, and everyone's going to be upset when Jaden Daniels is the pick, which is crazy. But then 2 weeks into training camp, you know, 2 days into training camp, when all the fans are there and we're on Media Hill and that dude's just like scattering through defenses and throwing dimes, we're going to be like, oh, this kid's pretty freaking good. It's going to be summertime, so it's going to be hot. He doesn't have to worry about the weather just yet, and he's going to kick ass early on. And so
Flip side is in October, he'll play and he'll have bad games and we'll be like, ooh, what did we do? But that's the evolution of young quarterbacks and athletic young quarterbacks and all of that. So
right.
It's all about the quarterback. It really is. I can't say it enough. I hate it in a way, but I can't say it enough.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you. So, all right, let's go to the question you already answered on Twitter. Assuming the Patriots go quarterback at pick number 3, will they prioritize offensive tackle or wide receiver at pick 34?
Now, I mean, it could go either way, and this pick is also, will it be 34? Could it be 26? Could you trade up to get, because, you know, reading some mock drafts, reading Dane Brugler's top 100 talent list, and I know people are going to be like, oh, who's Dane Brugler? I think he's the best in the business right now, quite honestly. Yeah. His draft guide took over in the old days. It was Nolan Naraki and Joel Bushbaum for Pro Football Weekly's draft guide. Bill Belichick used to acknowledge Joel Bushbaum. They were the measuring stick. Now I believe it's Dane Brugler. Right up, including that story, I don't know if you read it on Twitter, he's like, people are editing it before it's sent out, and he's like, hey, yeah, I just got some workout numbers for the 17th tight end on the board. Can we add these in? And they're like, Sure, Dane. Okay. We can add those in. Like, whatever.
No, he does a ton of work, and it is a very good resource. It's like, I think I saw, I forget who said it, maybe Breer, where it's like, the athletic subscription that you purchase, it's worth it for the beast alone. And 100%. Then you get everything else. Like, yeah, it's
100%. Could not agree more. But sort of looking at his lists and where, like, offensive tackle 5 and 6 are rated on the top 100. Not that the draft is going to go in order of the prospects, but a guy like Mims, who I like, or my Myron Guyton guy, as those guys start to go off the board, late teens, 20s, I do believe the Patriots need to go O-tackle first, because I don't think there is much high-end depth to the tackle position. Okay. And I actually think you could argue it's the biggest need on the team. You could argue it's bigger than quarterback. You have a guy who can start at quarterback. He has started plenty of games at quarterback in the NFL. Not good in terms of Jacoby Brissett, but he could. You don't have a starting left tackle. You have a couple starting right tackles, and okay, maybe you want to move one of those over, Mike Onwenu. Maybe they're going to test his versatility and team-first nature again.
Right.
But to me, you need a tackle. So whether it's Guyton or the kid out of Houston, Paul,
yeah.
You know, Mims, if there's a run on tackles, you may have to trade up, as I said, to get a little bit of it. I've kind of given up on my idea of A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver, at that pick. I kind of think they probably have to go to the third pick. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows with trades and how they move up or down or add picks. But yes, I think in general, just based on the talent available and their needs, you go quarterback, offensive tackle, wide receiver in that order.
I just want the flashy pick. I want a wide receiver. I want that A1 superstar that you can put up. And they're there at pick 34. Like, they're there. You know, you look at some of the top wide receivers in the game right now, and not a lot of them are first round picks, or even if they're first round picks, they're not like top five picks. The one I can think of is Jamar Chase. Everybody else, Devontae Adams is a second round pick. Justin Jefferson was the 21st pick. Like, you know, it's a very, very deep position. So I guess that sort of negates what I'm trying to say, that you can wait on them, but I also just kind of want to grab the guy. I want that guy right now. And so, before we then get out of here, we'll do one
which we
last
need to do.
Yes, we do. We have 5 minutes until Andy's on air. So, favorite day 2, day 3 position at wide receiver for you, Andy Hart?
So day 2, day 3 outside, like, I like Leggett,
yeah,
who is, I don't know where you want to place him, because I do think he's versatile and kind of moves around. I keep saying this. He's got the Debo thing. He kind of looks like a running back with his build. I do like Fitzy's guy, Javon Baker, as a player. I don't love him as he looks like a punk to me. But sometimes receivers are punks, and I think sometimes you have – and I don't know if that's the right word. Don't, like, come with that new pitchforks. He definitely has a problematic edge to him, but I know a lot of wide receivers do. And I'm just basing that off of tape, the things he does pre-catch, post-catch, after-catch, in the face of people. I kind of like him as an intriguing option. But I'm also not sold on just a flat out X. I just want a playmaker. And there's playmakers in this draft. Like I told you about the Tracy kid out of Purdue, the former, the wide receiver running back hybrid. I want athletes, you know, like Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel are just athletes. Give me a couple of guys that you think are just high end playmakers that are going to work.
Yep.
And then find the position. So, yeah, one of those guys. What do you got before we wrap this up?
I like Leggett. I like Ladd McConkey's not really even a day 2 guy. I think he's going to go in the first round. But I like Ladd. He can play inside, outside, everywhere. I know you don't like him. But, I'm going to go with Leggett and McConkey. Javon Baker, I guess, too. I'm sort of just repeating what you said. But good player who you can grab on day 2, day 3. So since you have to go, I guess you started it and I can finish it, wrapping up for a 6 Rings Pat's Puri and Mailbag Edition. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Follow at 6 Rings Pod wherever you get your podcasts. And we will be back next week for a ton more 6 Rings and football things, Patriots coverage. We are powered by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Until then, Andy, thanks for joining me. Thanks for doing this. And we will see y'all next time, 6 Rings family.